listening to the Caffeinated Thoughts podcast. Hi, this is Shane Vanderhart. Happy Friday. Today I wanted to talk about a topic that has been in the news for quite a while, for a few months now. This whole Me Too movement, all these charges of sexual harassment, sexual assault. How should we respond to these things? How should men, how should we protect ourselves? Because I think a lot of these men who have been accused have put themselves in compromising positions. Some of them are obviously just pigs too. But how can we address this as believers? Brian Myers and I actually had a phone conversation about this last week, early this week, and I said, you know what, this could be a great podcast. So we chatted again this morning, and I recorded it for your benefit. So before we get to that interview or that discussion, really, first a word from our sponsors.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a life insurance plan that makes sense for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. That's Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
At American Principles Project, we believe that human dignity should be at the heart of public policy. We work in all 50 states and in Washington, D.C. to promote life, religious freedom, local control over education, authentic economic progress for working Americans, and a return to constitutional principles such as federalism. Want to help American Principles Project? Visit our website today, AmericanPrinciplesProject.org. That's AmericanPrinciples, P-L-E-S, project.org. Sign up for email updates. Help us out. We want to work with you. That's AmericanPrinciplesProject.org.
And we're back. You may remember that Brian Myers co-hosted Caffeinated Thoughts Radio with me for over 3 years. He's a senior contributor for CaffeinatedThoughts.com. So very happy to have him back on the podcast. He's been on once before. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Brian about the sexual harassment Me Too movement that's been happening in the news lately. Hey, Brian, we talked earlier this week about kind of all the sexual harassment charges that were being floated around. And we, after talking, we thought, hey, we should do a podcast on this.
Yeah, it's like we've never done that before.
Right. It's like you and I just talk. Yeah, it's never been done before.
Yeah, that's right.
So, what are your thoughts about all these sexual harassment charges floating out there in the whole Me Too movement?
Right. Well, I got to say, I've been shocked. And I would imagine most people have been. You and I talked last week about Mark Halperin, who I think we've both met, and I actually met him a couple of times and felt like I kind of knew him a little bit.
Right.
And I admired the guy a lot.
If you were a girl, you might have gotten to know him a lot better.
Apparently. At least if you were, a coworker.
Right.
Somebody that was a subordinate of his. The stuff I read about him, it was just shocking. I would not have believed that about the guy. I mean, not that I knew him well, but, both his on-air persona and my interaction with him suggested that this was a very professional guy.
Yeah.
And when I read what he was accused of, I frankly couldn't believe it. Which is not to say that what was being said had no credibility. It's just that it was hard for me to get my mind wrapped around.
Right. So
anyway, I mean, that it's it's been a, for me, and I think for most people, it's been really shocking to see the level of you know, abuse and really bad behavior,
right,
on the part of some of these guys.
And
it's been healthy to see. I mean, if these guys are really guilty of all this stuff, it's healthy to see them be called into account.
Yes. Well, your sins will find you out.
I mean, that's right.
So I've heard a couple of women, you know, who say this doesn't surprise me. Because, you know, obviously you and I are not in the world where we're typically the objects of this type of behavior.
Seriously, Shane?
I know.
Good-looking guys like us?
I know. It's hard to believe. It's hard to believe, but I have to say I have never been sexually harassed, to my knowledge.
You would have had to be told if you were, huh?
Probably. And then I'd probably have been stunned. But no, to my knowledge, I have never been sexually harassed. So this is something I think women contend more. I mean, women are, you know, I've never had to deal with catcalls. I know there's some women who've had to deal with that. I'm not having to deal with women looking at me lustfully, where, you know, some women, you know, they're dealing with that on a daily basis. So they're just things that, you know, you and I are never going to experience.
Yep.
And because it's not been part of our world, we, you know, and maybe we've been in a work environment where the, you know, this type of behavior hasn't taken place. It is surprising, but I think for a lot of working women, it's not.
Mm-hmm. Nope. I agree. But having said that, I mean, to see these well-known, high-profile professional guys being charged with really outrageous behavior.
Right.
I mean, just outrageous stuff. Not the kind of stuff that maybe you and I over the years have observed going on in an office environment. This stuff is way beyond all that. I mean, that's what was a mind blower for me.
Sure. Yeah. You know, I was thinking Matt Lauer, I don't know for how long he's been on the Today Show, but the thing with that, you know, at least to NBC's credit, well, no, I don't want to say their credit because apparently this was known and a lot of people knew about it. They just didn't do anything about it until it became public. But, you know,
well, it sounds as if from what we just heard over the last couple of weeks, it sounds as if it was one of these open secrets.
Right.
Everybody it was almost celebrated, if you can imagine such a thing. There was a roast, apparently, that was a kind of a private affair. There was a roast of Matt Lauer in which, you know, his sexual appetite and deviancy and everything else was brought up in a celebratory way. These guys that are saying we didn't know, I'm sorry, but that's just baloney.
Right.
Nonetheless, your point though is that, you know, here's a guy that everybody has known throughout the country basically for 20 years, and you know this guy, he's an abusive pervert, is what it sounds like.
Right. Well, installing something on your desk that'll close your door? I've never heard of such a thing.
Well, and again, that was apparently well known, is that
you know,
Matt had this device where he could lock the door. I find some of this stuff shocking in that regard. And here's the other thing, though. We talked about this a little bit the other day. I am concerned with regard to political figures, guys in public office, which is not to say that all these guys aren't guilty. That's not my point.
Sure.
But we need to be careful. If the protocol now is one or two accusations, make you morally obligated to drop out of a race or resign your position, I think that's a fairly frightening thing.
Right.
Again, I'm not saying that these guys, you know, are being falsely accused. I'm saying that there is an opportunity for false accusations here, and politics being what they are, it wouldn't surprise me a bit if somewhere down the road something could happen where it, towards the end of a race, you could see some dirty politics going on where somebody pays, you know, some woman, you know, or man for the matter of that, a couple hundred thousand dollars to make a false accusation. Right. And the guy either is forced to resign, forced to resign or forced to withdraw from the race. That's kind of a terrifying situation. And according to a group called Violence Against Women, up to 10% of rape allegations are false. And my speculation is that harassment allegations, the percentage probably goes up from there. So it strikes me that this is something we're going to have to be really careful about. We can't just expect guys to fall on their sword as soon as somebody accuses them.
Right.
It has to be more than that.
Yeah, I agree. I think we're seeing a pendulum swing, because it used to be these
exactly
nobody would listen to these women.
Yep.
And now it's like everybody needs to be heard. And I don't think necessarily, you know, making sure women are heard, making sure we listen to them, making sure we don't dismiss them outright is something, right. That's something that we should be doing, because unfortunately, because we haven't listened to this, and I'm also thinking about the not necessarily pertains to our topic at hand, but kind of related, the Catholic Church and the sex abuse scandals that went on, and particularly the diocese.
Right.
Archdiocese of Boston. These things were known, rumors were said, people complained, it got swept under the rug, nobody listened. So, you know, we don't want to...
And think of the women that came forward during the Bill Clinton era.
Right.
There was a whole host of them, and most of them were simple harassment, but there was one actual rape accusation.
Yeah.
And those women were treated very badly, particularly by those on the left. And there are some people now saying mea culpa about all that, but you know, it's 20 years too late.
Right.
But you're right. I think we have seen the pendulum swing, you know, from on the one hand where these women were completely dismissed, to now on the other, everybody needs to be heard. You know, somewhere in the middle, I suspect, is a better way forward.
Probably. And, you know, I know on the job, if there's allegations made against you, generally speaking, there's a period of administrative leave or suspension where there's an investigation that takes place.
Right.
Now, so I don't think necessarily men need to resign right away, but I think they need to say, hey, let's let the truth come out here.
Yeah.
Just looking at Al Franken and then looking at, you know, Roy Moore, Al Franken, for one, he kind of quasi admitted, you know, what he had done and apologized.
Yeah, and then later on, he
recanted.
He kind of recanted his apology.
Right. So, you know, at that point, it's like, yeah, dude, you got to leave. You have to resign, because with the pictures, it's hard to defend against that.
Yep.
Roy Moore, when the accusations were first made, I have to admit, I'm not a Roy Moore fan, for a variety of reasons. You know, it didn't pain me to see him win the nomination, just because I wasn't a Luther Strange fan either. I didn't have a horse in the Alabama Senate race. You know, I thought Mitch McConnell was probably dumb to get behind Luther Strange. I thought Mo Brooks probably wouldn't have made the better senator in Alabama, but
guess we'll never know now.
Yeah, we'll never know. At first, it's like, you know, I was kind of on the fence because, you know, he'd been married a long time. There hadn't been any accusations made against him. But reading through that Washington Post story and then the ones that followed, excluding the woman tied to Gloria Allred, because I think that was, even though at first it seemed somewhat credible, and then as we got later on, it's like, oh, it's another Gloria Allred special.
No, that one there smelled really bad.
Right, right.
That whole business with the yearbook and all that. Yeah, I you know, that
would have been fine had she not written a note in it. But anyway, I just think any woman who's been a victim of sexual assault, you know, and they want to come forward, Gloria Allred is the last woman they should connect with. I mean, that's.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt disaster.
You're right. And the thing about the Roy Moore business, my impression at the time was when there's that much smoke, there's probably some fire.
Right. And that's what I was thinking too. And then for me, the turning point where I kind of got off the fence was the Hannity interview. This should have been a softball interview.
Mm-hmm.
And to Hannity's credit, he asked some pretty, you know, pointed questions that Roy Moore should have been able to answer easily, but he didn't, you know. When he said, have you ever dated high school girls? Well, I never dated anyone. I didn't have the mom's permission. What? the appropriate answer when you were a 30-something, you know, year old man, a county prosecutor. You don't know. I never dated high school girls, you know?
You know, at that point, Roy Moore's best option, and he should have done it a long time ago, is he need to say, you know, I did this. I was wrong. You know, this was inappropriate for a number of reasons. He could have gotten this thing behind him a long time ago. That part of the story.
Yeah.
And you know, the age differential.
Right.
Because the narrative now is the guy's a pedophile.
Right.
That's the narrative.
Oh, and then he contradicted himself, too. I knew this girl, and then I didn't know this girl. I possibly dated high school girls. No, I didn't date high school girls. And there were several contradictions.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know.
Yeah, and there was one girl I remember in particular. The reason that she came forward was she said, he's lying. She I don't think she ever alleged that he did anything bad to her.
Right.
She just said, he's lying. We dated for 2.5 months.
Yeah.
You know, tell the truth. Get it behind you. And I realize that's going to be hard to do when you have a month left in the race.
Right. But, and for people like me, I mean, you know, obviously I'm not an Alabama voter, so my opinion is neither here nor there. I was surprised to learn from a couple of Alabama Facebook friends how much influence I have in Alabama, apparently, because, you know, more losing was all my fault. But
you really are a bad person, James.
I know.
I've been trying to tell you that, buddy.
But, you know, if I were in Alabama, you know, just the pattern of behavior when he was a 30-something-year-old, and especially since he, I think the thing that bothered me the most, too, was how, and it kind of went along with some of the things that already bothered me about Roy Moore, was just how arrogant he was in dealing with these charges. And I think, while you don't necessarily, if you were innocent, I don't think you need to play doormat. But I think you can't be in a position where, you know, I'm going to be arrogant. There needs to be some humility.
Right. It, you know, the right things said at the right time with the right tone would have been helpful. But again, he really needed to come clean on the whole business of.
right,
of dating, excuse me, dating these younger girls.
Right.
He'd have been better off doing that than trying to lie about it.
I mean, absolutely.
But so, before we wrap up, though, we gotta talk about, especially with regard to these politicians. You know, it wasn't that long ago when Vice President Pence was taking a lot of flack,
right?
Because he was basically suggesting that he never conducts business at all alone with a woman, and people guffawed about that and hammered on him about that. And here he is. He's a guy out there that's doing his best to obey the command in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, which is to abstain from all appearance of evil.
Right.
And that's to say nothing of any temptation. But, you know, it's kind of funny. He really got lampooned. And I bet there's a lot of politicians right now that wish they'd have done what Mike Pence did.
Right, because I mean, if you're following the Pence rules or the Billy Graham rules, it's protecting yourself, it's protecting the women around you. Not that you think you're some sexual predator, but we are sinful people with a sin nature, and we're not above temptation, and as followers of Christ. You know, we absolutely have to set a standard to where we're not putting ourselves in compromising positions. And if we're following through on this stuff, the likelihood that we're going to be accused is going to be severely limited. I mean, being in youth ministry for 20 years, I was in a position where, I mean, putting up these barriers, that was a must. I had to protect myself. I didn't meet with girls alone. I did not drive girls home from youth group. If I ever had somebody of the opposite sex in my office, first of all, that would only happen if the church secretary was there, and then my door would be open. Mm-hmm. There were just things that I would do to protect myself. Because accusations do happen. I worked with high-risk kids for 13 years. I know of a couple people that were falsely accused of sexual.
Yep. But that's just it. This is not all about putting yourself in a compromising position. That's certainly a big part of it. But beyond that, it's protecting, as you say, it's protecting your good name. It's protecting your reputation. It's protecting yourself from false allegations.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
A lot of these guys are finding out.
After our last conversation, I was reminded of a book I read a few years ago by Jerry Jenkins. I still have it on my bookshelf, called Hedges, Loving Your Marriage Enough to Protect It. And he had some suggested hedges. He said, first of all, any hedges, hedges of protection. That's what that was referring to. You know, it needs to be personalized, but he shared some of the ones that he had, similar to what Pence did. But he said for the one chapter was two's company, three's security. Hedge number one, whenever I need to meet or dine or travel with an unrelated woman, I make it a threesome. Should an unavoidable last-minute complication make this impossible, my wife hears it from me first. So, you know, there's no surprising the wife if something comes up. And there was times where I did a lot of volunteer recruitment. I had to meet with pastors, some of those, and church leaders. Some of those folks were female. My wife knew my schedule. I talked to her about the people I'm meeting. I would meet publicly in coffee shops and stuff during the day, during working hours, to meet with people. It wasn't hidden from my wife, and I did it in public, and I was never alone. He had hedge number two. The chapter's called Touchy Touchy. Hedge number two. I'm careful about touching. While I might shake hands or squeeze an arm or a shoulder in greeting, I embrace only dear friends or relatives and only in front of others. That's important too, because first of all, that's generally not a problem for me because I'm not a huggy, that's just not who I am. I don't go around hugging people. But some people are like that.
Yep.
And you need to watch out. Hedge number three is, if I pay a compliment, it is on clothes or hairstyle, not on the person herself. Commenting on a pretty outfit is much different, in my opinion, than telling a woman she looks pretty. I think that's, wise.
Yeah, and I have to confess, I made a couple of real blunders on weight loss over the years. It's one of those deals of, you pay a compliment to someone who's dropped a lot of weight, and in the one instance, they were grateful for the compliment, and it was just fine.
Right.
The other instance when I did it, for some interesting reasons, it didn't end well.
Oh.
So I learned the hard way not to do that.
It's like, well, you think I was fat?
Well, it wasn't quite like that, but okay. Let's just say that you, in the midst of a moment in which you're not thinking ahead two or three steps in the conversation, what might be coming.
Right.
you might say something that you think is entirely complimentary and realize you never should have said anything.
Right. And hedge number four, and this is where I think a lot of guys get into trouble too. Not me, because I'll say not me because this is not who I am by nature, but hedge number four, I avoid flirtation or suggestive conversation, even in jest.
Yeah.
I've never gone down that road. I've never been tempted to go down that road because it just seems like that would be awkward. I just, I've never been a flirty guy, even when I was single. So that's definitely a hedge. That's not been, hard for me.
Yeah.
And then he's got some positive hedges, like hedge number five. I remind my wife often in writing and orally that I remember my wedding vows, keeping you only unto me for as long as we both shall live. Diana is not the jealous type, nor has she ever demanded assurances. She does, however, appreciate my rules and my observance of them. And then hedge number six, he says, from the time I got home from work until the children went to bed, I did no writing or office work. That gave me lots of time with the family and for my wife and for me to continue to court and date. So, that's another thing too. I think some of these guys, who've probably fallen in, who, especially those who are married, who've fallen into this, this pit of sexual sin, I think it's probably fair to say, and I would say it's probably pretty accurate, that they didn't exactly have the best home life.
That could be true.
I think if you're spending quality time and quantity time with your spouse, you're less likely to engage in this kind of behavior.
That's probably true.
So,
that's a general rule.
Right. I've had some women on social media address some of these hedges, and they've said, that's discriminatory because they're afraid, for instance, the boss never willing to meet with a female employee alone means they'll never, see a promotion and their career will never advance. I don't quite understand that. Do you?
Well,
again, I'm a man.
I understand intellectually what it is they're suggesting. I think it's nonsense, but I understand.
Right.
I think particularly in this environment we have right now, if you put a higher priority on that concept than you are about the other things we've been talking about, in today's environment, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
Right now, We need to be much more concerned about propriety and protection than right. we need about your concept here that your career is going to be hampered by not having unfettered access to your boss. That's,
right.
I'm sorry. It's, you know, get well, a clue.
And you know, I've been a supervisor of employees before, and I still don't get this because it's like. I don't understand where you think this is going to hinder your, you know, because I would meet if I needed to meet individually. My office door would be open. There were other people around, but we had enough, you know, privacy where if I had to talk about a personnel issue, I didn't want anybody else to hear. We wouldn't necessarily be overheard. So, yep. I wasn't putting myself or this female employee in a compromising position. So yep. I don't know how my hedges were hurting her potential career advancement because I didn't have any expectation that she would have to meet with me. I guess if your boss is a pig, it might hurt you, you know.
Yeah, well, look, buddy, all I can say is right now, in the environment we have right now, I can't imagine that anybody would be foolish enough to be pressing that narrative. You know, right now, we need to be talking about propriety, you know, protections, and I think everybody will understand that right now. Now, how long that's going to last, who knows? But for the moment, I think everybody's going to understand. You ever put a hedge up, everybody's going to understand it now.
Definitely. Well, hey man, we're at a half an hour.
You believe
time,
it?
Time flies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, a couple of blabbermouths bloviating, right?
Right. Well, hey, thanks for chatting with me. This is a good
conversation. Yeah. Good talking to you, buddy. I miss our weekly rants on the radio.
Yeah. Well, hey, take care, man.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye. And that concludes this episode of the Caffeinated Thoughts podcast. Hey, thank you so much for listening. If you happen to be listening to this podcast somewhere other than our website, please go to caffeinatedthoughts.com. That's caffeinatedthoughts.com. Or you can just Google Caffeinated Thoughts and it'll come up at the top of the search page. Hey, this is Shane Vanderhart. And until next time, my friends, take care.